Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. I have two guests for my show this morning. My first guest is a gentleman called Mike Olson, and my second guest is Brett Rossi. Mike's a partner with an accounting firm here in Sacramento called Olson & Company, and Olson is spelt U-E-L-T-Z-E-N. I'll probably ask Mike a little bit about that in a minute, the background. But Olson & Company, it's a 20-employee or so company that specializes in accounting here and tax in Sacramento. And they do look at different areas, economic damages, business valuation, and Mike has a particular area of expertise, which is forensic accounting. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk to Mike and understand how he helps catch people who like to take money from a business that they're not entitled to take. So Mike will be my first guest. My second guest is Brett Rossi, and Brett is a certified bankruptcy attorney and specializes in representing both people that are owed money and people that owe money. So I thought we'd have a conversation with Brett about bankruptcy and how people get into that situation and some of the options they've got if they're thinking that bankruptcy may be an option for them. If you're out and about driving and listening to the show and you hear something inspiring and want to come back to it, you're welcome to visit my website. Each show is recorded and available on my website, normally available either later tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. So www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. Click on the media tab, a little drop down will come up. It says 105.5 FM, and click on that and it'll take you to the recording of the show. So what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business, buying a business, or buying a franchise. These topics include finance, legal issues, tax, accounting, as you're seeing today with the guests I've got, and also sales and marketing. Or I like to say this show is where Wall Street meets Main Street. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers and also certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, Successfully Start Your Business, and when you're done, Successfully Selling Your Business. So if you want more information, please visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or you're welcome to give me a call, 916-570-2674. Each week I like to mention a charity, and it's my wife's birthday on Saturday, so I'm taking her to sacramentofarmersandchefs.com, or that's the web address. It's called Sacramento Farmers and Chefs. They're profiling about 30 farmers in the local area here in Sacramento and also 30 chefs. And it's a charity event. They're raising money to contribute to the California Food Literacy Center. Easy for me to say. California Food Literacy Center. And that's the center is about inspiring people to make a change in their diet and live healthier. So $25 per ticket. It's at Sunfish, which is at 1900 V Street. And it's on Saturday, September 14th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Cost you $25, get in there and have some food. And I'll be there, and there's an MC there. Kitty O'Neill's the MC. So it's a well-organized event. So I encourage you to be there on Saturday, September 14th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Sunfish, 1900 V Street. So my first guest this morning is a gentleman called Mike Olson, and Mike's in the studio with me here now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here. Very impressed to have a guest of Mike's caliber. He's got a pretty sizable business here in Sacramento. But before we get more details on that, Mike, tell me a little bit about what gets you out of bed every morning. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Well, Andrew, I'm a forensic accountant, and it's kind of an interesting breed. It's kind of where accounting intersects with the legal world.
Right.
And so what motivates me every morning is that we deal with clients
yep.
who are frequently involved in a period of financial distress
right.
or anxiety. And we, quite frankly, go in and make their life we manage their life through sure. some of these very traumatic experiences.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I love what I do. So it makes it very easy to get up in the morning.
Go to bed, yeah. So a little bit of Olson come. You started the company about 16 years ago, I think you were telling me off air.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I had been with a national CPA firm for about 7 years.
Yep.
managed a local firm here in Sacramento, John Waddell & Company, and then launched out on my own.
Yep.
With a firm very much specialized in forensic accounting.
So you do forensic and you do tax accounting?
We do. We have what we call the traditional services. It represents about 30% of our line.
Okay.
The balance is 70%, which is forensic accounting. And even the tax is somewhat unique because our tax people are very highly trained, very specialized, advanced degrees, and they deal a lot with dealing with the taxing authorities, resolving a lot of the tax disputes. We're working with attorneys throughout the town.
So you'd get pulled in because of your expertise. You have a typical bookkeeper and the regular CPAs, and then you're kind of the specialist that come in when there's something that needs to be dealt into and dug into deeply.
That is it, exactly. Many CPAs are trained in audit or tax or consulting work. We're trained and have a specialty in forensic accounting.
Yep, and that's just, yeah. Is the focus of the practice here in Sacramento, or you're local or regional or national?
Well, all of our people are here in Sacramento. We're about to open up a Los Angeles office, our footprint is across the United States. So we've done trials on the East Coast, down in Texas, up in the Midwest. So we have a national, local presence, national footprint.
Okay. So is there such a thing as a typical client, or I'm guessing from what we're talking about, you'd have a pretty broad cross-section of clients depending on their needs?
One of the great things that I enjoy about what we do is that each client is unique. You learn about a brand new industry. You may learn about GPS systems.
Yeah.
And the next thing you may learn about is a lumber broker, and who knows what the next one will be. So, but the specialty is that of forensic accounting.
Right.
And using the skill set that we've been able to develop over an extended period of time.
And I think that's part of the pleasure I have with what I'm doing. I'm helping somebody sell a business. And I'm doing smoke shops, I'm doing smoke shops, I'm doing hardware distribution businesses, I'm doing a manufacturing business. And what's intriguing is it all comes back eventually to the financial statements and the quality of the financial statements. So if they're in good shape, you've got a good chance of selling. If they're not in good shape, then you've got a challenge. And I think the same thing would apply in your world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it does.
Yeah. So forensic accounting is the area you specialize in. You'd be partnering often with another professional, an attorney, to help get into the areas and get it right?
The majority of our time, we're working with a law firm. There are occasions, and they're, you know, the less than 5%, where we will be requested by a company to come in and conduct a special investigation where the lawyers are not involved.
Right.
But normally we're working side by side in a partnership with a very good law firm.
Okay. And The reason that you're brought in, obviously there's the owner's seeing a problem and something's going off in his head saying there's something wrong here.
Well, it ranges all over the place, Andrew. In some cases, your client has been sued for a breach of contract. In other instances, we do valuation work.
Okay.
Parties are involved in a disagreement over the value, or they want to execute a buy-sell agreement.
Right.
And want to set up a formula. They want some idea what the company's worth.
Right.
In other cases, we are involved in accountancy malpractice cases.
Okay.
Where, again, there's already an action that's been instigated. Although, in some cases, we are brought in before a complaint's even filed to help those people walk their way through the minefield, as they say.
Right. And as far as the forensic accounting goes, if you're engaged to bring your forensic accounting skills, what's the typical approach you have? You obviously come in with an open mind, and you've got a reason for being hired. How do you navigate through that process?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
When we first are retained, like you, the first thing we do is we try to get an overall feeling as to who the players are and what the company's like and what's the lay of the land. I frequently, I think I used it already. We land in the middle of a minefield.
Right.
The first thing that you want to do is stand still
because
you're still alive.
Yes.
And then you want to walk out of there very carefully. And that's kind of what we do as we dissect the problems or address the problems or think of creative solutions to some of the problems.
Right. Are you typically focused on financial statements? Is that where it all starts for you to drill down and find some meaning in where you are?
Well, leave it to an accountant to think of fraud in three categories. So there's one, financial statement fraud. The other one is embezzlement, which you read a lot about. And the other one is corruption. And we practice in all three of those little silos.
So give me a little bit more information. Well, actually, we're going to do this. My producer's telling me it's a good time for a break. So my guest this morning is Mike Ulson. Mike's with Ulson & Company. And when we're back from break, we'll talk a little bit more about forensic accounting and things that a business owner needs to be aware of. Talk to you shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Control! We can see socks for miles.
I'm sorry, Lunar One. Did you say socks?
Miles and miles of socks.
Like we wear on our feet.
Roger, Control. The socks appear to cover the entire dark side of the moon.
In pairs?
No, just random socks and giant, fierce mountains of dryer lint.
The search is over! Yeah!
There are some things you can search for and never ever find, but when it comes to finding a local job, SacramentoHelpWanted.com has made the search super easy and free.
Do you see any purple argyle?
Search by keywords or phrases to find hundreds of jobs in accounting, HR, recruiting, retail, or healthcare or IT, and post your resume in minutes.
Lots of tube socks and a holy cow, there is a river of knee-highs.
I guess the search is over. Check us out. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you sure you don't see any purple argyles?
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Mike Ulson, and Mike's with a local tax and accounting firm, specializing in different areas, but Mike's a specialist in forensic accounting. And so we're talking about, if you're own a business, we're talking about some help hopefully you don't need, but if you do need, maybe we're giving you some tips on what to look for if embezzlement or financial statement fraud or corruption is part of your world right now when you're looking to know how to handle it a little bit better. So just before break, Mike was talking about the three different types of work that he gets called in for, and he put them into three buckets. The first bucket was financial statement fraud, second one was embezzlement, and the third one was corruption. So, Mike, just give me a little bit more background. What does financial statement fraud mean?
Probably the best case that you can think of is the Enron case, and there have been a number of different meltdown of companies over the last, say, 10 years.
Yeah.
And so the question there turns as to whether or not the financial statements are fairly stated. Frequently they find that the assets aren't there, the liabilities are understated.
Right.
And to the extent that people are using and relying upon those financial statements, they suffer some economic harm.
Right. So that Enron, you would have watched Enron, I presume, with a lot of interest, just from a curiosity point of view, what the heck's going on?
Yeah, we actually participated in some of the work on Enron.
Okay. So you're involved.
Yeah. Yes. We worked with one of the defendants, the criminal defendants in that matter.
So is that situation likely to happen again? Have we learned from that, or we don't learn from these things? We're just finding a new creative way to do these things?
We're doing it in a more creative fashion. I've heard the example was that back in Enron, people weren't asking the question, is what we're doing is right?
Right.
As opposed to, is it something we can do?
Right.
And unfortunately, I think we see the same environment in today's business economy. Not whether or not it's right.
Right.
But can we get away with it?
So it really boils down to a human factor. That's as complicated as it is. If you want to try the system to see if you can be successful and that's your mindset, that's where you'll head.
Comes down to integrity.
Yeah. Frustrating, but So financial statement fraud, and you mentioned embezzlement. What's the world of embezzlement?
That's the garden variety of fraud, and that's more or less taking money or skimming money or writing false checks, writing a check to yourself. And that's if you're looking at the overall scheme of things, the majority of fraud is in the area of embezzlement.
Okay. We'll come back to a question I've got, how we are the things we can take as a business owner to mitigate against that. But just quickly, corruption, what's the it's pretty straightforward when you say corruption, I think. But
well, it is. Unfortunately, people pay for the practice rights or payoffs,
right.
Quite frankly. It can be both in the private area as well as governmental.
So how would you be brought in for a situation like that if you're thinking, I'm thinking Walmart paying the executives in Mexico to win a deal. Would that be something you might get pulled into?
We have not been brought into one of those cases, right. That in Mexico, but we have been brought into other cases that involve corruption. And it really goes to, from our standpoint, we look at what was the economic substance of the payment.
Right.
Or alternatively, was it paid in cash, in which case there's no trail.
Right.
So it requires either an investigation of the paper trail or an investigation and interviews with people to determine the nature and the scope of what occurred.
So all these things are done by an employee. They're not done by the owner of the business, because if they're done by the owner of the business, maybe you would be brought in that situation. You could be brought in by a regulatory authority?
We can be,
yeah.
And we have been. And we've done work with the Department of Justice.
Right.
And therein lies claims where shareholders, for example, have been damaged.
Damaged, yep. And how do you classify the people that you see do perpetrate these activities? Do you have a bucket you put them into, or is that part of your skill you've learned that you can identify the personality and the way they do things?
They don't wear a special dark blue shirt, unfortunately. you run across a kind of they begin to categorize themselves. You have the sociopath.
Right.
That have absolutely no conscience whatsoever.
Right. Right.
The other one that I've heard is I classify these people as what they know what they're doing is wrong.
Right.
But they rationalize it.
Right.
And that would be the majority of the people.
Yep.
They can justify they're wrong.
Is the position they hold in the company, is that a factor that you look at when you're looking to see what's going on?
Andrew, it runs the full gamut.
Right.
There's some statistics that are out that would suggest, they're all percentages. So who's your most likely person? I can give you some statistics coming out of a study done by the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners.
Right.
The person you should worry about
is
an executive in the finance department that has no criminal background.
Right.
That has a college degree.
Right.
Frequently has an accomplice, so there's collusion involved.
Right.
And is usually 40 years older or more and is a male.
Okay.
Given that profile, I think you fit.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was just going through the checklist and I was waiting for you to say male or female and you said male, so I'm in trouble. But okay, interesting. So they have an accomplice.
Yes.
Somebody in the business normally, or?
It can be in the business or outside the business. Right. And from... You know, to discover it's much more difficult, and those frauds will last longer when you have two people working together.
Right.
And they, like I said, they can be inside the business or outside the business. You can set up a false company and start writing checks for services that were never rendered or parts that were never delivered.
Yep. Does the size of the company matter? Is there a patent to certain company sizes?
Absolutely not.
No.
To your listeners, you're all at risk.
All at risk. Okay. Are there certain types of businesses that are more prone to fraud?
Again, I'll go back to that study. It would suggest that those businesses in finance are a little bit more at risk.
Right.
It's the old story, why do you rob a bank? Because that's where the money is.
Right.
That's, unfortunately, that's where you'll find a lot of the finance, a lot of the fraud for finance companies. But I must tell you, it's not a disproportionate share.
Right.
It runs the full gamut.
And what are some of the methods that the fraudster uses? Are you able to classify them into different methods they use?
Each one is creative, I must tell you. They can write, I gave you some examples. You can skim the cash coming in the door.
Right.
So it never hits the book. So you can write a check to a third party that turns out to be your brother for services. You can set up a false company and you can, you name it.
You can do it. Is it a one-off event or is it a series of events normally?
Actually, what you see, the typical fraud will run anywhere from the low end, 12 months, to the high end, 10 years or more. But to answer your question, it starts out with $10,000 this year, $20,000 the next year, $40,000, and pretty soon the individual feels emboldened and, again, justifies it and keeps getting away with it until eventually they get caught. Now, there's the other theory that there are people that run up to the $40,000 limit and then stop.
Right.
And we'll never see them.
And that happens?
I don't know. I have never seen them. They're usually fired, or I'll tell you, the best means by which you can find a fraud, and it's something I encourage all of your listeners, it's not an audit done by a CPA firm. Actually, it's tips.
Okay.
A hotline.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, it's the other employees that will frequently turn in the bad guy.
So that was one of my questions. How does the company normally find a fraud? So it comes from a tip.
Yep.
And so if somebody's listening and has a business, an employee may be uncomfortable going to their boss because they're not quite sure if they make an accusation whether it's correct. So how would you help somebody? What's the workaround for a business owner to say, I want to be aware of these situations? What would you suggest they do?
What we encourage, and it's much more prevalent in the medium-sized to large companies, but I'll tell you, you get down to the small company as well.
Yep.
Get a fraud tip line where they call in anonymously, and from there you can begin an investigation. Many of the people want to remain anonymous.
Yes.
They have suspicions.
Okay.
They don't want to be accusatory, and they don't necessarily want to be identified as the person that has turned over the fraud.
Yep.
But an anonymous tip line.
And is it easy to do that? I mean, I'm thinking of having in the employee handbook that here's an anonymous tip line, and you explained in the handbook that if you see something that you're uncomfortable with, call this toll-free number. And I'm not aware, but are there services that are available like that?
There are services, but you can set them up in your own company. Just have a dedicated line.
Okay.
And generally, I see it that the HR director will be the person that monitors it.
Right.
Or you may have an audit committee that monitors them. You set up a mechanism that will lead to an investigation to determine whether or not the tip is a valid tip.
Yep. I was going to ask if there's a typical amount of the fraud, but based on what you were saying before, it starts small and goes big, or there's no pattern?
It runs anywhere from a couple $1,000s to, you pick the number, billions in a Ponzi scheme.
Yep. Yeah, you were talking before about starting small and keeping on going. I was thinking of Bernie Madoff. Once he started the process, there was no turning back. He just had to keep going.
That's the other problem on a Ponzi scheme in particular,
right?
Because you are robbing Peter to pay Paul, where you're involved in another type of an embezzlement.
Yep.
You get emboldened, so you keep taking more. Not that you have to.
Right. I was going to ask you for some suggestions about how a business owner catches fraud. You mentioned the tip hotline. Anything else come to mind that a business owner could do to be proactive?
Several years ago, I developed a six-step process. So I'm going to share it with you.
Sure, good.
And this applies to big businesses as well as small businesses.
Okay.
It's universal. First of all, take a look at the checks that you have signed, the canceled checks.
Okay.
Look at the face and the back, and see if there's something abnormal.
Okay.
Second of all, take a look at the bank statement.
Okay.
Get the bank statement delivered to you and unopened.
Okay.
Then look at the lifestyle of the person. If they're driving around in a brand new BMW and it's a secretary or another administrative person, there may be a very valid excuse or reason for it, but take a look at it. You may be paying for it.
We're going to run out of time, Mike,
okay.
So I'm going to ask you to keep going because I like what you're doing,
okay.
But we're running out of time.
Okay. Well, separate the signers, have somebody prepare a check, and another person sign it.
Yep.
Then the tips we talked about, and then do a background search on your people.
Okay. Great. Mike, we said time would go quickly, and I think we were right.
You were right.
If you're listening, you're welcome to visit Mike's website, www.ultzen.com. It's ULTZEN.com. Now, you can give Mike's office a call, 916-563-7790, and call the office. There's 20 employees there, so you'll have to get them to talk to Mike, but you're welcome to give Mike a call and have a conversation with him. Mike, thanks for being a guest this morning. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
U.S. stocks advance. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks are up, extending the longest winning streak for the S&P 500 index since July, as data showed China's economy is improving and amid signs of easing tensions over Syria. Well, Goldman Sachs, Visa, and Nike are up more than 1.1% as the three companies will be added to the Dow Jones Industrial Average before the end of the month, replacing Bank of America, Hewlett-Packard, and Alcoa. McDonald's climbed 0.3% at sales at stores open at least 13 months, topped analyst estimates. But Apple fell 0.4% before the world's biggest technology company unveils new iPhone models this afternoon. The Dow is up 90 points to 15,153. S&P 500 index up 0.5% to 1680. The NASDAQ is up 0.4% to 3720. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
This is the Great American Work From Home Revolution that's changing the lives of great Americans, like you. It's IncomeRevolution.com. And listen, this is a fantastic way to earn from a few hundred to several thousand a month from your kitchen table, even while you sleep. What are listeners saying about IncomeRevolution.com? After only 9 weeks, Jeff Rush made more than $4,500 from home in his spare time. No pressure, no selling soap. Anyone can do this. Or listener Kevin. With Income Revolution, Kevin made enough to cover his mortgage and even quit his day job. And finally, listener Kirsten, a busy dad who earned nearly $3,500 his first month. Would an extra few thousand change your life? No pressure, just an opportunity for great Americans like you to earn great money from home. Plus, they're giving one listener $1,000 just for checking them out. Visit IncomeRevolution.com. 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 Results not average. See website for results you can expect.
Are you interested in taking investment real estate to the next level? The current opportunity in the commercial real estate market offers investors of all levels fantastic options. Whether you are looking for solid, dependable cash flow or huge potential upside options, call Steve Harper, Managing Director at KW Commercial and host of the Straight Talk Real Estate Hour at 916-798-1116. California DRE Brokers License Number 01267541.
This is Chris Hedrick with Big Valley Mortgage and co-host of Straight Talk Real Estate Hour. With the frequency of changes in loan programs, costs, down payment requirements, and overall credit qualifications, getting a home loan may seem daunting if not impossible. My commitment to you is to ease this process, communicate throughout the transaction, and above all, give you transparency and assurance. Let me and my team provide you with a first-class service that you deserve. Call me today at 916-969-6537. That's 916-969-6537. Or visit me at my website, bvmhometeam.com. Be a part of the winning team. Join the BVM home team for your next purchase or refinance. NMLS 222-374 DRE 01457009.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest sitting in front of me now is a gentleman called Brett Rossi. And Brett's a certified bankruptcy attorney. And I thought a good question to ask Brett is that, what does he do for fun? Because I would think being a certified bankruptcy attorney and solving all those problems would get a bit stressful. So, Brett, good morning.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, tell me, what do you do for fun? You know, doing bankruptcies, it sounds like pretty hard work. So what are some of the fun things you do?
Well, in my personal life, unlike my professional life, I'm a bit of a jack of all trade and a master of none. I always have about 15 projects going at the same time and try to keep myself occupied with what I'm doing. And, you know, I like to play a little softball in the evenings. I'm working on a carport right now in my backyard.
Good.
I ride a bicycle. I snow ski in the winter. Wakeboard in the summer. There's all kinds of activities. That's why I love Sacramento.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. Sacramento is the place to live. You've got everything so close. The beach and the mountains. It's all here. So I definitely agree with that. So you're an attorney by training. What attracted you to the law? What was that all about?
Perry Mason. If you remember the old Perry Mason show, Perry Mason was the champion of the wrongfully convicted.
Yes.
And I had an experience when I was a child being wrongfully convicted of throwing a Rice Krispie treat in the toilet. That made me convinced that I wanted to be the champion for the wrongfully accused.
Yeah. Well, that just saying Perry Mason took me back to my youth in Australia and growing up and watching Perry Mason on TV. So that's a bit of a flashback. So we had Perry Mason on TV in Australia. So I'm there with you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I always liked the way he got the guilty one eventually on the stand, and then they would confess.
Yeah.
In real life, that never happened.
No.
It was great for
great
drama.
TV.
Yes,
great TV.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Every attorney I've met has an area of specialization, and so your specialization you've chose to go into is?
Bankruptcy. My specialization is bankruptcy. I have been an attorney now for almost 30 years. I started off doing business litigation and commercial collection, which is still a large part of my practice.
Right.
But in this economy, bankruptcy is where people need the most help, and that's really why I got into the practice of law, is to help people.
Right.
I enjoy the financial aspects of it, and so bankruptcy is just a natural fit for what I do.
So the work you do as a bankruptcy attorney, are you specialized here locally in Sacramento, or you're touching regional areas, or I don't expect you're doing national work as a bankruptcy attorney?
I don't. There are attorneys that do that.
Yep.
There's one local gentleman here that likes to handle all of the city bankruptcies, the cities, the counties, Vacaville.
Oh, okay.
He's been involved in all of those, but
yep.
Personally, I like to help the local people in our community.
Yep.
So my practice is mainly here in Sacramento. I do get over to the Bay Area on occasion, but I try to avoid it just because of the travel costs and expenses involved in that. So primarily here in Sacramento, Modesto, Stockton, around that area.
Okay. So who would be a typical client? It's probably a little bit silly question to a certain extent, because if someone's in financial problems, then they may be of interest to you. But is there such a thing as a typical client?
Well, you just identify them. People that have financial difficulties. Anybody who's struggling with, making ends meet each month. Those are my typical clients. Whether it's a business owner, whether it's an individual. Either of those, typically I deal with the smaller businesses because of the nature of the way I practice. I do not handle debtor Chapter 11s. That's one area of the law that I don't really get involved in, because you have to have more people. I'm a sole practitioner.
Right.
Usually you need more than a sole practitioner to handle those types of cases. But I do handle personal and business bankruptcies.
Okay. And so personal bankruptcy and business bankruptcy. If somebody owns a business, I'm presuming that they may have personal bankruptcy needs as well, as they tend to come together?
There's a lot of overlap. What you'll find, depending upon how their business is conducted, and there's different forms of having a business. Many people operate as a sole proprietorship.
Right.
Sole proprietorship simply means you conduct that business in either your name or an assumed name, but there's no separate entity other than you.
Right.
So that individual's business is wrapped up in their personal life, and their personal life is wrapped up in their business. They're literally one in the same.
Right.
So when you handle a bankruptcy, you handle someone's financial situation for them, you have to take a look at both aspects of their life to see if a bankruptcy is a good solution for their problems.
Yep.
If you're dealing with someone with a corporation, depending upon what they want to accomplish with the corporation, oftentimes they've just had it there. They've gone long enough in that business. They decide they just want to get out.
Yep.
There are ways of shutting down a corporation without doing a bankruptcy. And as long as they haven't personally guaranteed the liabilities of the corporation, which many people do, because, there are institutions out there, when they loan you money, they're smart enough to realize, hey, if we don't get a personal guarantee and this business goes out of business, we don't have anything.
Right.
So that's how people sometimes will draw their own personal financial situation into a business situation, like a corporation, limited liability company.
Yep.
And then the third major form is partnerships. And partnerships, again, there is a separate entity of a partnership, which they will deplete the assets of that partnership first. But then the individual partners then remain liable for any of the debts that aren't depleted by the partnership.
Okay. One of the key questions I wanted to ask you, which I thought would help people listening, is that if somebody's getting into it, how do people avoid getting the need to hire a bankruptcy attorney in the first place? I know you're giving away secrets to lose business, but is there a pattern to why people find themselves in financial trouble?
Typically, and I'm sure you see this a lot, people want to get into business. They've worked for somebody, or they've always had a dream of getting into business, but they don't come to the table with enough financial resources to sustain that business long enough for the business to be able to prosper. So typically what they do is they try to get a loan from somebody. Now, if they're lucky, they can get a Small Business Administration loan. Those are usually pretty reasonable.
Right.
They usually do a good analysis for the people and will make a determination if they can pay it back.
Yes.
Oftentimes, people can't get Small Business Administration loans because they just don't have a track record or the wherewithal to get the finances, so they rely on their credit cards.
Right.
It's an easy source, or they think it's an easy source of financing, and they start getting the bills in, and they get these minimum payments, and then all of a sudden they realize they're in over their head.
Yep.
And that's really when you start seeing that happen. And the biggest red flag for me, when I find somebody that wants to withdraw funds from their pension plans, absolutely, we need to stop that right now. Mm. That is the worst place. When they're there, they're almost at rock bottom, and that's the time to stop doing that. So when you see those situations, those are the ones that we like to get to in advance, because bankruptcy is not a solution for everyone, and there are ways to prevent bankruptcy.
Right.
But if we don't get to them soon enough, it's a foregone conclusion. That's about their only solution.
Yep. So that's intriguing. So you mentioned a couple of things that I think is important to highlight. You mentioned that if somebody's planning to start a new business, one of the places to go to make sure they protect themselves is by having enough working capital. If that working capital is not there and they have to use a resource to borrow money, that could put pressure on the business.
It always does. That's right. Usually the biggest problem that we run into is people have this idea, but they don't really – they don't have it fully developed of how much it's actually going to cost to get their storefront or whatever it is up and running, to get their employees hired, to do all the things that they want to do to be able to do it right. So they try to cut corners to begin with, which then takes away from their ability to run their business successfully.
Right.
And then eventually the cutting of the corners means the business isn't going as quickly as they'd like it to. So then they need more capital. So then they borrow from somewhere.
Right.
And typically they'll try their relatives, friends, banks, whatever they can get their hands on, and then ultimately they'll go to their credit cards.
Yep. It's intriguing from my perspective, because these are the things I talk to somebody who's looking to buy a franchise or buy a business. These are the conversations I have as part of the work I do, because I don't want to set somebody up for failure. And so I want to know their borrowing ability. The SBA process is horrendous in terms of getting through all the paperwork and getting a loan approved. But if you get a loan approved, it'll be because you have the ability to get the loan, to service the loan, to run the business and be successful. And
well, that's part of the whole point of the SBA loan. Going through the process is educational for the business owners. They never realize, a lot of them just, you know, they have a dream, right? And they want to fulfill their dream. And that's great. That's why we're here. And that's why bankruptcy, people don't understand why bankruptcy was invented. They think it's for deadbeats. Bankruptcy is not for deadbeats. What bankruptcy is for, it's for entrepreneurs. We've discovered that entrepreneurs are the ones that employ most of the people in this country, and we can't keep an entrepreneur down, because if we can get them back on their feet again, what are they going to do? They're going to go back out there and try another business again. They're going to employ people. They're going to keep the capital of our country flowing. So that's what bankruptcy is really designed for. It's not for what people think of somebody who has, you know, overspent their resources, who just doesn't make enough money, and so that's what they're living on the backs of the rest of us. It's not what bankruptcy is for, and that's not what it's designed to do. And frankly, that's not who uses it the most.
I like what you said there. Bankruptcy is not for deadbeats. And I think there's a perception that we think if somebody's thinking about filing bankruptcy, then they're doing it from desperation because they're trying to avoid things. But your message is the reverse. It's not the case.
I have never met a client yet that comes in and says, I really want to get out of my debts. They all want to pay their debts. They just don't have the ability to do it.
Brett, we've got to take a break. I've got some more questions when you come back from break. Thank you for listening. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm Andrew Rogerson. We'll be back from break shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now
on Money 2.0.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
If only that great little restaurant could have done some advertising, they'd still be around. But nobody ever found them because advertising is expensive. But not this week, when Salem Stations offer very low advertising rates during our one-day sale, when quality local businesses can get their message out without breaking the budget. So when a Salem marketing rep calls, be sure to pick up. Or call us at 916-924-0710, 924-0710, or click on one-day sale on the station website, money1055.biz.
Money Experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. My guest this morning is Brett Rossi, and Brett specializes in bankruptcy. So if you're listening and you got a question, you want to give Brett a call, his phone number is 916-442-6200, 916-442-6200. He also has a website, and it's his name. It's nice and easy, www.brettrossi.com. But there's a catch there. He spells Brett with only one T, so it's B-R-E-T-R-O-S-S-I. So www.brettrossi.com, and you can go to Brett's website, or, again, give him a call. I've known Brett now for about 5 or 6 years, I think. I have breakfast with him on a Thursday mornings fairly occasionally. And he's a good guy. So if you have a question, he likes to talk with you and help you. He won't charge you for the first few questions. So you're welcome to give him a call and bounce your question off him. So before break, we were talking about bankruptcies, how it impacts an individual. And a lot of business owners have a business, and both their business and their personal world is getting in a bit of turmoil because they've got debts that are piling up. You have different types of bankruptcy, Brett. I was interested to understand that, what they are. There's different chapters, and what the heck? Why does the word chapter come into play when you're talking bankruptcies? What is the word chapter? What's that all about?
The word chapter in the context of bankruptcy comes into play because it's a part of what we in the business refer to as the bankruptcy code. It's actually contained in the United States Code 11 USC is the section, the primary section, and then there's different subdivisions in that. There's the section that begins with, Chapter 7. That's the bankruptcies that deal with the liquidation bankruptcies. There's Chapter 12, which are the family farmers and fishermen's bankruptcies. Okay. Chapter 13 is the individual reorganization or small business reorganization bankruptcies.
Yep.
And then you have Chapter 11, which is the larger business and the rest of the bankruptcies. And the new one that's come into vogue recently is Chapter 9, which is for municipalities, cities, counties, things of that nature that file bankruptcy. So those were the chapters come in, but it's probably easier to think of them as I said, the Chapter 7 is a liquidation bankruptcy. The Chapter 13 is a reorganization bankruptcy.
Yep.
Similar with the Chapter 11, again, it's just a larger, more expensive version of a Chapter 13. And okay. Now they've actually got a small personal Chapter 11 bankruptcy that's they're trying to develop a little bit more. It hasn't really caught on greatly in our region anyway, but it's supposed to be a more streamlined version of a Chapter 11 for those that may not qualify for Chapter 7 or Chapter 13.
Goodness me, I can see why you need an attorney to help you through this, because that's mighty complicated. Is the chapters, is that federal law or state law?
Federal law. Bankruptcy is all federal law, although there is some portions of it, and as soon as you talk to a bankruptcy attorney, you'll see where the state law fits in. It applies to the exemptions. Our state has opted out of the federal exemptions and drafted its own exemptions, and they've picked up the federal exemptions in their own form, and then they've added their state exemptions. And you get to pick between which one you want. We call it either picking the federal exemptions or the state exemptions. So state law does play an important part, and there's other areas of bankruptcy where state law plays a significant role. But for the most part, bankruptcy is a federal program.
And so if you're dealing with a state, If you decide to go the state route, are you dealing with a judge in the state court system?
No. The only state route for a process similar to bankruptcy is a process known as the assignment for the benefit of creditors. and you can actually select someone and avoid bankruptcy, but there is a process that is on the state level. If you're going to file bankruptcy, no matter which chapter you file, that is all federal law, but there is a relationship between state law and federal law when it comes to the exemptions in bankruptcy.
Okay. And we were talking before about if somebody has a business, and again, this the show and my audience for the show is people that own a business. So if somebody has a business and they have a financial crunch, be it in the business or the or at a personal level, you know, there's somebody for a client to give you a call, have a conversation with you, and see what makes next steps to do.
Exactly. You have free access to me. I offer a free 30-minute telephone consultation. If somebody wants to call and has a question, I'd much rather speak to them before it gets to the critical hour where we can't really help them, because there's a lot of things we can do prior to filing a bankruptcy that may prevent having to file a bankruptcy if they knew what their options were. But a lot of people wait till it's too late. They're embarrassed. They're afraid. They don't know what it's going to cost. They don't know who to call.
Right.
And all those things stop people from actually moving forward with the process that could actually save them. So it's almost like first aid, right? We provide first aid for struggling businesses.
Yeah.
and help them to avoid, you know, having to go into the emergency room, because that's what bankruptcy is like. It's the emergency room where,
right,
we're going to do some sort of emergency procedure on you.
Yep.
Hopefully it will either save you or save the business, but sometimes it doesn't.
So a little bit more distinction there is somebody's thinking, I've got a financial problem, or I've got a cash flow issue, and if they're alert enough and have a conversation with you, how could you help them avoid getting a bankruptcy? Just a bit more detail around that.
Well,
perhaps an example might be helpful.
I'll try to give you an example, yeah, of one where it's come up before. Somebody had incorporated a business,
yep,
and the business was struggling. It was having some difficulties meeting its needs,
yep,
but it didn't really had the resources available. It just didn't have a good cash flow problem,
right,
or a situation. Well, they wanted to go down and borrow out of their 401k, and they were going to take their money there, and they knew it was all going to come back. We convinced them that they had actually an employee that wanted to invest in their business. They didn't know it. I mean, they didn't realize. They kept talking about selling the business. Said, why don't you bring the employee on as a partner, but don't saddle the employee with all of this problem. Let's go start a new corporation,
right,
start a whole new business.
Right.
Essentially shut this one down. Yep. You don't have to put it into bankruptcy because you didn't guarantee any of the debts. The debts that you can pay off, you pay off, and you start a new business with your new employee and your new business owners, and you're starting fresh.
Right.
So that's a perfect example of how to go about avoiding a bankruptcy.
And by doing that, you obviously leave all the hassles of your filing bankruptcy with destroying your credit and that's all not touched. So you're in such a stronger position.
Well, you're starting off fresh again without having to go through the bankruptcy process.
Yep, yep. That's a great example. Any other examples come to mind that you can think of that a listener may say, that's my situation, I can relate to that?
Well, you know, you got me on the spot a little bit.
Yep.
The main thing that we look for when we're trying, yep, to evaluate somebody's potential for bankruptcy is,
right,
we never like to see them lose a lot of assets.
Right.
So the first question that I always ask somebody is, what's your goal here? Do you want to carry on this business, or if you're done with this business, you've recognized,
right,
this business is not going to be successful and you just want,
yep,
to wrap it up.
Yep.
If they want to carry on the business, that's a whole different setting of what we can do for them,
right,
than if somebody says, well, let's just wrap this business up. I want to go back to work for my uncle, or I want to go, yep, back into the thing I was doing before. This is just not for me.
Right.
Much easier solution. And the other thing, of course, is we don't like to see them lose assets. We don't, right, want to put somebody in bankruptcy and then have them lose everything.
Right.
So we do the best that we can to look at what are the assets that are out there,
yep,
what do we need to protect, and are the exemptions going to protect that? Or do we have to take the chance and say, okay, this is one scenario, this is the next scenario, this is the, you make a decision which is the scenario you want to take your chances with.
Right. Okay. And again, if somebody's listening thinking, I need more information, they can give you a call, have a conversation with you. Because I think part of their thinking is, if I have to hire a professional to help me, there's that big word called cost that I'm going to have to deal with. How do you help them understand that there's going to be a cost-benefit analysis to do all this? And I'm sure it's part of your guidance.
One of the things that we used to tell people is, you know, bankruptcy to some degree is free. And how is it free? Well, bankruptcy is free because your creditors pay for it.
Right.
The money that you would have paid to your creditors, you pay to a bankruptcy attorney, and then the bankruptcy attorney gets rid of your creditors.
Right.
So that's one way of looking at it.
Okay. Okay.
The other way of looking at it is you're trying to be successful in your business or you're trying to be successful in your personal life. If you're spending more money than you have every month or you're racking it up and all that's doing is getting interest,
yep.
how are you benefiting from that? And yep. think about the stress you're under every month when those bills come and you don't have the money to pay those bills.
Yep.
Once I can't tell you how many times I've walked out of a meeting with my clients and all of a sudden it's like they're walking 3 inches off the ground because that weight of the burden of those debts that they can't pay has been lifted.
Right. So I was going to ask you some of the benefits of avoiding bankruptcy, and you kind of touched on that. So, you know, there's huge benefits to their credit report and just to their general demeanor and their outlook on life as opposed to going through that process.
Well, it's like anything else. Whenever you're facing a problem, the best day is the day you get rid of that problem.
Right.
They used to analogize it to a boat. There are two good days in a boat owner's life, right? The day he buys it and the day he sells it.
Right.
And the rest in between is, you know, a mixture of those things. And that's what it's like when you're suffering from a financial problem. If you
right.
don't know really where to go, how to turn, what to do, what's the best course of action,
yep.
you might just continue to make those same mistakes that got you there.
Right.
And that's why oftentimes Chapter 11, people want to reorganize that. That's the first
yep.
thing they say. Oh, I want to do a Chapter 11. I want to reorganize.
Right.
My first question is, what got you here in the first place?
Right.
Because if you're just going to, if I'm going to get you reorganized and the next day you're going to start digging that hole again, how have I helped you?
Right. Very good. Brett, we came up to the top of the hour. My guest this morning was Brett Rossi. Brett's a bankruptcy attorney. If you have questions for Brett, you're welcome to give him a call, 916-442-6200, or you visit his website, www.brettrossi.com. Brett's a good guy. I've known him for 5 or plus years now, and he knows what he's talking about. You're welcome to give him a call. Brett, thanks for being a guest this morning.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Next week, I've got two guests. Nay Grant. Nay specializes in selling a business that has at least a $1 million net profit. So I'm not talking about value. Their annual profit is $1 million. So I thought I'd talk to Nay about the benefits of selling such a prized asset. And Mark Denning's a CPA, and he's written a book called Drive Your Business for Financial Success. So Nay and Mark will be my guests next week. Thanks for listening. You're on 105.5 FM.